Well, good deal, and glad to be together with all of you. What I'm going to talk about is something that Lance talked about with sanctification on a Wednesday night, and he did an unbelievable job. And
way back,
yeah. And it was a two-way presentation, and I'm going to give the summary of sanctification, spiritual maturity, and glorification. And I've got some scripture that we'll talk about. But before we get started, I think we should probably pray. So let's bow our heads and thank the Lord. Dear Father, as we come before you in this evening hour, what a blessing it is to gather together. Even though there's few of us, Father, we just we want to feel your presence, and we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And guide us in our thoughts, guide us in our direction, in all that we do. For we need you now, Father, more so than ever during these troubling times. These are times that we've never experienced before. Help keep us safe. May we use our logic and our good sense to stay safe. And most of all, we want to thank you for thy Son. So, Father, be with us as we join together in talking about your word. And we honor, praise, and glorify thee in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to start out this evening just giving a summary, because I'm hoping maybe someday when we can get back together on a Wednesday evening, a lot of research, a lot of searching about these very important topics. Talking about sanctification, spiritual maturity, and glorification. And I just want to highlight some of the things that I think that we really need to think about. And when we're talking about what does sanctification mean, the meaning is to be set apart for special use and to make those holy. It is a state of separation unto God. It is the work only God can perform. And by the way, as we go through this, as we repented, and as we were justified, and then we became sanctified, this is a learning process. This is something new for all of us. And this state is what we call, it's a positional state, because we're learning as we go along. Now, I don't know about your process, but I can tell you mine was that wasn't brought up in a Christian home. There was love, but we did not study the Bible. We did not pray together. And it's only through meeting Marcel and being part of the Apostolic Church that I started learning about the love of Jesus and the importance that, matter of fact, it was before dinner tonight, Marcel and I were talking and we were sharing that when we repented and were baptized, we thought that was going to be the end of it. I mean, everything was going to fall in place and everything was going to be easy. And I think that's why now we understand, as we've gone through this learning procedure, this learning time to draw closer to Christ, it is a positional position. And it means the same as justification, but we're positionally set holy set free from sin by the blood of Christ. Yet we still sin, and this experiential sanctification is the effect of obedience to the Word of God and is growing in the Lord. So when I was baptized, when I came out of the waters, and the next day or that day, I was full of emotion. I was so excited to be saved. But then Monday happens, and then we have to go back to work, and we have to go and change our processes, change our thinking, because we have to put the old away and we have to bring on the new. And that takes time to change those habits. So I don't know about for you, but I know that's how it was for myself. So as a result, our behavior bore witness to our standing. And this is a key sentence in our conversion to being true servants for Christ. Our behavior bore witness to our standing in the world and separation from God. But now that we've been transformed and we have been sanctified, our behavior should bear witness to our standing before God in separation from the world. And it's the world that gets us in trouble. I don't know about you, but I can tell you that the temptations out there are ever seeking, and I thought they would all go away, but they don't. And Satan is not going to let loose of us, and we just have to push him back, and we have to be strong, and we have to carry our faith forward in Jesus Christ. So as I wrote this down, I think what was most important for me is that I learned how to pray. I learned how to read the Bible consistently. And that little by little, every day, those who are being sanctified are becoming more like Christ. And that's what gives us the hope for the future. And what I'd kind of like to do is I would like to read 1 Thessalonians 23, because I think it really talks about our mindset. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that commitment that we make, that little by little every day we grow closer and closer. I guess I was hoping that there was a magical switch when I came out of the baptizing waters, that everything would be okay. But what I learned is that now I have to learn how to change my ways, how to change my daily activities, to change my mind, to change my thoughts, that they would be more pure in Christ. And I think that kind of sums up the sanctification process for me. After we go through this, and now it's been 29 years for Marcel and I, and I can't tell you that the temptations are any less than they were the day after that we were converted. But I do know that the more I seek Jesus Christ, the more I put Satan in the rearview mirror. And that process just takes commitment, time, and a willingness to change and be fully committed to what you're doing. So after 29 years, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we would call after a period of time, and this time changes for all of us, when we really become more spiritually mature, is how does that happen? It's achieved every day by becoming more like Jesus. This process will never end in our life. And I think that's the thing that in daily prayer or in reading the word or in attending church or in fellowship, we know that Satan is not going to give this thing up. And the whole thing is that we have to stay solid in the base of the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. So I think it requires a radical reordering in one's process, priorities, changing from pleasing self to pleasing God. And I think that's my biggest daily challenge, is that I've got to live for him and not for myself. I'm learning that when you do, in fact, live for him, all the rest of it kind of falls in place. Those other temptations go away. Those other diversions. And I become more focused on trying to be more like Jesus every day. So that's the key to maturity, is several things: consistency, perseverance, and doing those things we know that will bring us closer to God. And what I had to learn was examples of these were being consistent in reading the Bible, studying it, prayer, fellowship, service, stewardship. I think those things have helped transform my life. I think I've shared with most of you. I wasn't long after being converted that they made me a trustee, I think about 3 months after I became a member. But I did that for my term, was probably 3 years. But my life changed and my habits changed when I became a Sunday school teacher. I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't sure. I had the privilege of knowing Marcel's nephew. And I was told,
which one?
Mike Gutwein. And that would be Steve Gutwein's younger brother. Steve is an elder in the Francisville, or was an elder in the Francisville church. And that would be also Nick Gutwein's brother. And he was noted to be probably the best Sunday school teacher there was. And I didn't have a clue what to do. So I called him and I asked him if I could spend some time with him. And I'll never forget it. I drove up to Francisville and I walked into his house and he sat down, and he was a fun-loving guy. Oh my goodness, he could tease with the best of everybody. But boy, was he committed to teaching Sunday school. And I asked him to step me through his day. How did he prepare? And he said, Ron, he said, Saturday mornings are my time away from my family. And it's when I go into my office and I close the door and I'm there till I'm done. And that was preparation for the following day. It was a lot of prayer, a lot of reading, a lot of referencing, a lot of research. And I tried to uphold that for the 19 years that I taught Sunday school. And I will tell you, those were probably some of the best 19 years of my life, of being with those young people, because I always had the same class. I always had, for all 19 years, I had 7th and 8th graders. Sometimes there were 6, 7, 8. Sometimes, a couple times, there was 5th through 9th. And that was tough. But always had the same grades. And I found them to be the most challenging. And the most committed and hungry to hear the truth. And so I think that those, I probably learned more than they did. And so that was something wonderful for me. But the most important thing is that none of this can happen without enabling the Holy Spirit to live within us. And the second verse that I would like to read this evening is, hold on, Galatians 5:16. Very short. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And that verse has stuck with me, and I think it's something that for me was one of my Achilles heels, and I need to refresh that verse a lot. And so it was something that I really needed to write. Let's go into glorification. And that's the process that I think that after we have, and it's different in time for all of us, that as we grow, as we mature, we're looking for that final climax, that is the coup de grace, that is the epitome of being faithful and loyal to Christ through our life. And very honestly, it's, as you read on the screen, glorification, the short answer is the removal of sin from the life of the saint, and that is everyone who is saved, into the eternal state. And then we have to think about, when does this happen? If you'll remember, I told you that during spiritual maturity and through sanctification, the process never ends. We have to stay true and faithful and consistent in staying focused on living for Christ. But when will it happen? At Christ's coming. The glory of God, His honor, praise, majesty, and holiness. When I just think about that, of Christ coming, of those adjectives that describe what I picture Christ coming as, will be realized in us. And instead of being mortals, burdened with sin nature, we will be changed into holy immortals, with direct, and get this, unhindered access to God's presence. And we will enjoy holy communion with Him throughout eternity. My gracious, what a glorious feeling that will be. We will consider the final glorification as the culmination of sanctification. When will we be glorified? At the last trumpet, when Jesus comes, the saints will undergo a fundamental, instant transformation. Imagine that. In the twinkling of an eye, We will be totally transformed. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, it is a blessing bestowed on every believer. And I think that's my goal. And you, as fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, this study, this research that I've done just really brings to light what I really believe is our ultimate goal, what we're living for, that transformation. And with that, I just have a couple of questions that I would like to throw out. And I just, not that we're going to discuss them, but think about them if you would. And what should we be focusing on as Christians? And what can we do, or I would ask in the form of a question, what can you do in changing to be more like Christ? And I think that's my lesson. Any thoughts?
Nice work, Robert.
Anybody have any thoughts?
Ron, this is Gail. I think when you're going through your life, if you feel like you're maybe at the end of the day you reflect, how did I represent Jesus during the day? If somebody knew I was a Christian, would they honor Jesus and want to be asking about him, or would they think, boy, there goes another Christian? No. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's what you have to think about is if you had your testimony out there, which I have, there's a huge responsibility in that. Say, did I reflect Jesus the way he would want to be reflected, especially to someone who is not a Christian? So
yeah,
pretty big responsibility.
It is. It is, Gail. Great point. Great point.
Ron, let's see. I think I'm on. I appreciate, your thoughts, just because we've been talking about the 12 facets of spiritual formation and with Ken Boa's book, and it's called Conform to His Image. And I think that's exactly what you shared, or it's really what you shared as far as, that process of sanctification is being conformed to His image. And, it just was, I think it's very good. It's always refreshing and challenging to go through that. I really appreciated what you shared and then making it personal too, 29 years and, that's quite a thing. Ron, so were you and Marcel baptized together?
We were.
In Indianapolis Church. Okay.
For some reason
I remember Marcel being baptized more than somehow faded a little bit with you, but over well, the that, 20.
That's probably for good reason, Ron.
But anyway, yeah, isn't it amazing, those 29 years. No, I do remember now. I had to ask just to clarify, but yeah. Alfred Baylor, right?
Yes, exactly right. Yes. Yeah, and we repented together. So it was a great process. Very healing, very cleansing.
Uh-huh.
And to this day, I'll never forget coming out of baptismal waters that I did in fact feel clean. Uh-huh. I did. For the first time in my life, I felt clean. And meeting every one of now my brothers and sisters in faith holds very clear in my mind of that afternoon.
Hmm. That's neat.
Well, you can tell the Lord's changed you, Ron, and that's really a neat thing, too. And I love what you said. Well, you were baptized. It was an emotional day, but you know, then Monday comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Monday comes. That's.
Yeah.
Ron, this is Gail. I'd like to hear from the young people. Did they have that illusion that after they were baptized, everything would be really, really great? And what was their actual experience? Maybe Raquel or Ben or one of the kids.
Ben?
Yeah, I did kind of have that idea. Somebody told me the day of my baptism that it wasn't going to be that way. I was like, wait, what? I thought I was like going to be done with sin, but
yeah.
Not sure why that's so prevalent.
Yeah.
So our girls, like, Bible study group is going through the Fruits of the Spirit book that's going on with, like, the sermons, and we just talked about the patience section.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to you talk tonight, it made me think back to some of the sections that were in the book about how God has patience with us and how, like, we have patience with each, or well, we should have patience with each other, and like patience for Christ's second coming and all of the different things that go with that. And just as you were talking, it made me just really thankful. It just kind of reminded me of some of the scriptures that we read about, that God is so patient with us during the sanctification process. Because it's true. I do think that I expected to grow a lot faster than Well, maybe I have in certain areas, and so I'm just really glad that he's patient with us.
I know, but we don't know what the word patience means until we get to know God better. And his patience with me, I have no idea how he has put up with that. But it just shows his love is from everlasting to everlasting. It has to be. Because I know he loves me. And that is what keeps me going. I know he loves me. And I know he hears my every prayer. And he knows of us. He hears us this evening talking about him. And that we're trying to find consistency and perseverance in our walk with him. And
sometimes I think I would have grown a lot faster than I did than I am. Still growing.
I've heard someone say too, like, you expect these like giant leaps to come, like these, like, almost where you get catapulted from a spiritual maturity standpoint, and then it's like we look back a year later, 5 years later, we're like, that did not happen at all. It comes incrementally for sure.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And Ron, yeah, mine, it too.
Yeah. It was baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that's how he tells us, according to scripture. He says, I'm not going to give it to you any faster than you can receive it. Right now, you're children. I got to feed you milk. You're not ready for meat. And that's how I take it, is that he can only transform us in such a way that we're going to be able to adhere to it and learn it and then use it.
Mm-hmm.
So,